This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. We begin in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we request praises and blessings upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My dearest brothers and my sisters in Islam, salamullahi alaykum wa rahmatuhu wa barakatuh. May Allah's peace, may His safety, may His blessings, may His mercy be upon you all. Alhamdulillah ala salama. Alhamdulillah for being returned safely to you all. Indeed, you were all missed. And in the same breath, I echo how much I miss the Muslim community of Brisbane, the community that hosted me over the past couple of days, subhanAllah, from my hosts to the trustees and committee of the masjid that was responsible for my visit, and also the team from the National Zakah Foundation that travelled across to ensure that everything ran smoothly. For this entire series is courtesy of the National Zakah Foundation in their endeavor to uplift the community, Islamic knowledge within the community, and also the Islamic application amongst the Muslim community. Everything about Brisbane, subhanAllah, was so heartwarming. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from them and everyone involved, as I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from you all. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to gather us together, us and them and the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in al-Firdaus. Ameen. My dearest brothers and sisters in Islam, you could say I literally just arrived. I arrived and I had enough time to freshen up, and then there was iftar, and then we were at the Medina here for Salah. So if I say anything that doesn't make sense, put up your hand and make sure that I repeat it, inshallah. I need you to help me so that we benefit those watching online as well. I welcome you all to another episode in our series, Surah Yusuf, in the 21st century. Alhamdulillah, we've been taking lessons in earnest. Our first lesson in Brisbane, the Friday night lesson, subhanAllah, had to be a summary, a recap of everything that we discussed with you all. It was only fair, subhanAllah. I didn't realize, subhanAllah, how much we took. I thought it would be a 10-minute recap, but it lasted an hour. Allahul musta'an. Bilkhair, wadhakir fa'inna dhikra tanfa'ul mu'mineen. For those who are watching from Melbourne, it's a reminder. And for myself, who was teaching, a reminder as well. And Allah says that in these reminders are benefits for the believers. And then the following night, we went deeper into the conversation between the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam and the plan that they put into action. And they did all of this under the guise of them being righteous people after they commit the crime, subhanAllah. And we deduced several lessons from this, and inshallah you've been following online. Alhamdulillah, the broadcast has been clean. I have it on good authority that alhamdulillah it was a clean broadcast, alhamdulillah. So inshallah there's no need to repeat, and if anyone missed it, then do check the online broadcast, and also follow the National Zakah Foundation social media pages and my own social media pages, the Medina social media pages as well. They're broadcasting these sessions, so you can capture that lesson, inshallah, and catch the discussion there and the benefits we took away from that sitting. There was so much to say, subhanAllah, but given the scope of these lessons, we can only extrapolate here or there. But no doubt, the core extractions for the verses that were discussed last night surrounded human endeavors, especially towards each other, and how we feel towards each other, and how we compete with each other, and healthy competition versus unhealthy competition. And this idea of jealousy and the harms of jealousy, and how, subhanAllah, jealousy can indeed break the bonds of blood. And in today's day and age, we see sibling rivalry when it comes to parents' attention, for example. And we see this here with the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam. We see sibling rivalry when it comes to money, monetary matters. How much have my parents given this child, this brother, or this sister, as opposed to me? And all of a sudden, subhanAllah, we become self-assumed accountants and auditors. La ilaha illallah. All of a sudden the skills just develop and we have this ability to count. And then it gets worse because we go forward and engage our parents in an accusational way, accusing them of favoring one child over the other, even though deep down we know they tried their best never to do so. And deep down we know that perhaps what they gave one sibling was due to real need, and we don't have the same need, and so on and so forth. And this is from the plots of Shaytan, because when we look at the verses taken last night, these were brothers plotting to kill their own brother because of the sibling rivalry, their competition for their father's love and for their father's attention, subhanAllah. And also we discussed different matters pertaining to the adab, the manners, the morals, the etiquettes with those who have done wrong, especially after they've been forgiven. And we extracted that from the verses last night. And I implore you, for those who missed it, to please go back to it. And then we settled upon a series of prior crimes that were committed before the crime. And let's go back there, because the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam, they through a form of cognitive dissonance, and I explained what cognitive dissonance is last night, they found a way to justify their behavior, their sin, their crime, right? That we will do this and we will be good people after that. After that, we'll become good people. We'll become righteous people. And when we look at the verses Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, we don't just see that you can't be a righteous person after a crime, because once you commit a crime, there's many crimes that you're forced to commit as well. But you also see, subhanAllah, that even before you commit the crime, there's crimes you have to commit as well, or you will commit as well, or most probably you will commit as well. So it's from the tricks and deception of shaitan that you're just doing one thing. And also from the deception of shaitan that you'll have life to seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after that one thing. Who guarantees you this life? That after you commit this crime, you'll have enough life to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. Yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most forgiving, the most merciful, and no one from the creation of Allah can say to another creation that you won't be forgiven. No one can do that. But what's real, my dear brother and sister in Islam, is when you plan the crime, who gives you the guarantee that you will have enough life, that you will be given the inspiration to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness, to redeem yourself, to take on the necessary means to right your wrongs? Who guarantees that for us? This is from the deception of shaitan. And also we discussed yesterday this idea of taking shaitan as an enemy, as Yaqub taught his young son, Inna shaytana lil insani aduun mubin. Indeed, shaytan to mankind is a clear enemy. And Allah says, Inna shaytana lakum aduun fattakhiduhu aduwa. Indeed, shaytan to you is an enemy, so take him as an enemy. Why do you behave as if he's a friend? Why are you in oblivion of his attacks, of his whispers of deception, and so on and so forth? And that's why we have to be alert. We have to be alert. We can't be like the one that falls under the description, An-nasu niyam. No, my dear brother and sister in Islam, we cannot afford to fit that particular description, that the people are asleep and when they die they will wake up. La ilaha illallah. We don't want to be from amongst those people, that we finally wake up when death arrives. No, we should be awake before death arrives, so we can rest when after death arrives. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve us in His obedience, and when it's time to return to Him, then to bless us in our death and whatever is after death. Ask Allah barik lana fil maut wa fima ba'da al maut. Ameen. So before the crime, they committed crimes by disrespecting their father. How so? By employing emotional blackmail. And this is what we discussed yesterday. They wanted to get Yusuf out of the grasp of their father, and they did this by employing emotional blackmail. Why don't you let him come with us? You don't trust us. We are older. We are a bigger group. Didn't you raise us to be brothers, to be together, to look after each other? This is from emotional blackmail. When a child reads the Bill of Rights back to the one who taught them the Bill of Rights, subhanAllah. You go back to the one who taught you, to your father, and you start teaching him. Right? And in his wisdom, he's doing something. Now this is from shaitan and also from the weakness of our mindset, our heart set, our soul set. Sometimes we don't think things over. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us for our wrongs to our parents. But then we go to them and we try and speak to them in a way that deep down we know we're being sarcastic with them. We're being conniving with them. There's ulterior motives in terms of our conversation with them. It's not a discussion at the micro level. There's a macro objective that we're trying to achieve. We're plotting. This is sinful. This is from us disrespecting our parents. And they do this. And they push Yaqub into a corner. And Yaqub alayhi salam responds by saying, no, you know, I fear a wolf might eat him. And whilst you guys are playing, you know, you older, he's younger. And subhanAllah, in this discussion, the scholars who've pondered over Surah Yusuf say, Yaqub, in that fleeting moment, he gave his sons the excuse to use against him after they dealt with Yusuf alayhi salam. At the end, obviously, they decided not to kill him, but throw him into the bottom of a well. And you must watch yesterday's session to appreciate all of this and the lessons extracted. But they didn't know how to come back to their father. This wasn't discussed. There was no discussion that, okay, after we throw him down the well, what are we going to come home and say to our father? They had no idea. This wasn't part of the discussion. It probably wasn't even part of their thought process, but subhanAllah, it was handed to them on a silver platter. And that's why scholars of the past would say that never ever give your enemy the excuse to use against you. Right? Not that these were his enemies. And that's the excuse of Yaqub alayhi salam. He was talking to his own children. His own children who naturally, if we interact with the surah, we appreciate he brought up. Because we see how excellent he's been with Yusuf alayhi salam. So no doubt, these people have the knowledge as well. So he's not talking to people who are ignorant. He's talking to his children. But subhanAllah, eventually, they used this against him. They took Yusuf, they threw him down the well. They took his shirt, as the scholars of Tafsir mentioned. And they slaughtered an animal and they dipped the shirt. And they went to Yaqub alayhi salam with the shirt, using the excuse, the fear that Yaqub alayhi salam had. As if to go back to him and say, subhanAllah, we were a big group of people, but you know that fear that you had, it came true. That's still the one thing you were fearing, and today we do that, isn't it? Somebody say, you know, subhanAllah, why did you say that? Why were you thinking about that? That one thing, look, it happened. Hadakallah. May Allah guide you. And this is what they did, right? And this is, again, the crimes after the crime. They said, after this crime, we'll be good people. Now, as I mentioned to our brothers and sisters in Brisbane, that we're not judging the brothers of Yusuf. Allah forgave them. Yusuf forgave them, Allah forgave them. And for those who didn't catch yesterday's episode, some of the scholars of Tafsir say they are the Asbat. Later on they became prophets. And they became the heads of the tribes of Banu Israel. Because according to a version, Israel is Yaqub alayhi salam, and Banu Israel are the children of Israel. And remember, he ended up in Egypt at the end of the story. For those who are familiar with the story, they end up in Egypt. So we're not judging them, but we are learning from history. The wisdom, one of the wisdoms why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals to us this surah and the stories in the Quran. Today we heard recitations from Surah Hud. Surah Hud is a series of stories. Concise, precise, clinical, but again, non-fictional. If you ponder over them, there's lessons for us. Lessons for how communities interact with their leaders. Lessons for how leaders should be with their people. And so on and so forth. So they come to Yaqub alayhi salam when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in his book, وَجَاءُوا أَبَاهُمْ عِشَاءً يَبْكُونَ. Subhanallah. They decided to come back when it was dark. Back in the day, there was no electricity. So you had lanterns, the lighting was poor, which means your ability to visualize and see was impaired, was dampened because of the darkness around you. They chose that time to come to their dad. Why? So that their real features, they could hide to the best of their abilities. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they came at night, Isha time, during the darkness of the night. Yabkun, yabkun, what are you crying for? This is crocodile tears. This is a form of crocodile tears, but you pretend. Now this is an act. Now I ask you, my dear brother and sister in Islam, is this righteousness or is this sinful? Do you see? They committed the crime, and what did they say? How did they justify it? How did shaitan help them justify it? Do it, and afterwards, firstly, he's guaranteeing for them life. This is a fake guarantee. And then he's guaranteeing for them righteousness. This is a fake guarantee as well. You see, shaitan, you cannot listen to him in the least. You cannot listen to him in the least. And sometimes when we're dealing with marital problems or parental problems or community problems, and you see shaitan prevalent in the discussions, in the speech that is used, in the tone that is used. And it's, subhanAllah, unfathomable that how can people not recognize shaitan in this picture? And everyone's fighting for their rights and their own egos and that which is right. But they don't know at this moment we're under the influence of shaitan. They know, but they're heedless about it. And we spoke about heedlessness last night as well. I don't want to repeat too much, otherwise we'll have a Melbourne session summarizing the Brisbane session. And it's also important for you all to follow and for you all to revise. Al-ilmu bit-ta'allum. So inshallah, this is a means for that. And it's an ibadah as well during this great month. The point is, my dearest brother and sister in Islam, Surah Yusuf cannot be clearer in terms of social morality, sociology, and the impact of shaitan on the social dynamics of the community. And this is where we need to take a step back, and we need to take a deep breath, and we need to say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim, seek refuge in Allah from shaitan, the accursed, and think about things. Calm down, and actually see yourself in the mirror. How are you behaving? Are you behaving as a person who fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knowing that Allah watches my behavior right now? Or am I behaving the behavior of a person that pleases shaitan? Is this the behavior of a person who pleases Allah, or the behavior of a person who pleases shaitan? If the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was watching you from a corner, would he smile at you or would he frown at you? Would he be pleased with you or would he be upset with you? Sometimes we cry crocodile tears. Sometimes we pretend. We over-exaggerate in our speech. We build a case that misrepresents the reality. But we're doing so because of the stomach, this desire, this egotistic nature to win, even if it's at any cost. We need to take these lessons from here, O servant of Allah and O child of Adam. Right? So they come to their father and they say to their father what they say to their father. And don't forget, before this they said to their father, if a wolf comes and eats Yusuf, and وَنَحْنُ عُصْبَةً, we're the big group of boys, your children. we're old, we're big, we're a large group. And with the Arabs, they take pride in having lots of sons. This is a matter of praise. They said, if this happens, we will be from the losers. But look, they don't come and blame themselves. They don't come and say, we are from the losers. They don't point the finger to themselves. They say to their father, oh, our dear father, we were racing and we left Yusuf with our mata', with our goods, with our, not goods, nothing for sale, but meaning with our personal belongings, apologies, personal belongings. He was looking after it whilst we were racing. فَأَكَلَهُ الذِّئِبُ, and the wolf ate him. Subhanallah. Blaming something far away. Even if it was real. They told their father earlier, who will be at fault if something happened to Yusuf? And that was a false statement. It was not a statement of intent. They were saying what they could say to get Yusuf away from their father. This is sinful as well. These were lies as well. So you see, before the crime, you're committing crimes. And after the crime, you're committing crimes. And they continue. How? By telling their father. And you know, you won't believe us even if we're truthful. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Some more emotional blackmail. Another dose of emotional blackmail. وَمَا أَنْتَ بِمُؤْمِنٍ لَنَا سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ وَلَوْ كُنَّا صَادِقِينَ. You will not believe us. And some of the scholars, for those who study Aqidah, this is evidence for those who interpret Iman to be التصديق, to be belief. They use this verse, وَمَا أَنْتَ بِمُؤْمِنٍ, because Allah uses the term Iman here, and the meaning of it is تصديق. يعني وَمَا أَنْتَ بِمُصَدِّقٍ لَنَا. You will not consider us truthful in what we're saying. You will not believe us, meaning you will consider us liars, even if we're telling you the truth. Subhanallah. Our servants of Allah, they're children of a prophet. They grew up in a prophetic home. And I spoke to you earlier during the prophetic parenting session about how ultimately, subhanallah, our children's safety is based on tawfiq from the heavens. Tawfiq from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We heard about Nuh alayhi salam today, the beginning of Surah Hud, and his son, and how he told his son, get onto the boat, get onto the ark, get onto the place that is receiving Allah's mercy. And his son, 950 years of da'wah, his own son, subhanallah, denied his father and he died a disbeliever. All right? Now we have these boys here, subhanallah, who had the upbringing that one can imagine. And this is how they're interacting with their father. And I highlight this to remind our parents that sometimes you try your best and things don't work out. Don't blame yourself. Blame yourself when there's need to be blamed. But don't blame yourself when there's no need to be blamed. And it's the nature. It's the nature of a parent, because you have so much love for your child. You only see them as innocent. And if something goes wrong, you rather blame something else, even if it's yourself, than them. Because you always want to see them in the best light. But too much love is not a good thing. Too much love is not a good thing. Where you love them to the extent that you justify their disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, again, we're tying lessons because we're doing it nightly and we see new faces. And as a teacher, it's just by default. I see a new face, I see someone who's trying to think about the story, and I pick up that they don't have a backdrop to it, so I try and fill the gap. So for those who see me being a bit repetitive, please forgive me. Consider it a sadaqah to our brothers and sisters who need the repetition. So this is what they do to their father. Now, we said Surah Yusuf is a school. If Surah Yusuf is a school, Ya'qub's dealing with this disaster and calamity is a school in and of itself. Because the hardest thing for a parent is losing a child, especially a young child, an innocent child. And especially if that child was kidnapped by my own children. I mean, this is, talk about exacerbation, talk about amplified wrong, amplified hurt. Yaqub alayhi salam is dealing now with a child that was beloved to him, that is gone, that is lost. And anyone who becomes a parent, I think you will say with confidence that losing other people is tough. Losing your parents is very tough, but it's something you expect will happen one day. Losing a sibling is tough, but perhaps you will be blessed with another sibling. But every parent will tell you, losing a child is the hardest thing. Even if Allah gives you another child, because a child doesn't replace another child. The journey during the 9 months for that child to come into existence, then the unique journey thereafter, the unique memories thereafter. Allah creates every child in His own capacity, with their own demeanors and so on and so forth. It's just a human instinct, subhanAllah. The hardest thing for a parent is losing a child. And if it's hard for a father, you cannot imagine how hard it is for a mother. Yaqub alayhi salam has been hit with the tammah. Has been hit with the calamity, with the disaster. And he's listening to the disobedience in front of him. He's listening to the emotional blackmail before and after. And you don't hear his voice. You don't hear any voices being raised. Teaching us from the prophetic school how to deal with adult children. How to deal with adult children. What's screaming going to do? What's shouting going to do? The situation is what it is. It's a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I've done everything as a parent. I've done everything as a father. I've done everything as a prophet. Allah's testing me. And Allah's testing my son Yusuf. And what do you need to pass the test of Allah? وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. Does Allah not tell us that in Surah Al-Baqarah, in the first quarter of the second juz? وَلَنَبَلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ. Allah says, indeed, we will test you. We will test you with many things, with fear, وَالْجُوعِ and hunger, وَنَقْصٍ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ and poverty, وَالْأَنْفُسِ and death, وَالثَّمَرَاتِ and loss of your agriculture and harvests. Allah says, then what? وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. Glad tidings to the patient ones. The patient ones. الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ. Those when this calamity strikes, إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ. When it strikes them at the point of being struck, when you feel what you feel and shaitan attacks you based on that weakness that you're experiencing to make you deny Allah, you affirm Allah. قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. You say, "Inna lillah," indeed we are from Allah, and to Allah we will return. You affirm Allah at that moment. You shun shaitan. You push back his attack, and you show him you're a believer. You present yourself to Allah as the believer. This is why "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un" is so powerful. It's not just terminology we just utter from the lips, not even from the tongue. Subhanallah. Today is "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un." No, when you say it at the time the calamity strikes, in the sadmatil ula, you hold yourself together. The sabr is this idea of tying your soul, tying your mind, tying your body, tying your heart, so that you don't lose it. You don't become someone you're not, because you've been hit with something that's causing you to fall apart. But you tied, you keep yourself together. And then you manifest to Allah who you are, O servant of Allah. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi. You manifest ultimate sabr. Ultimate sabr. Yaqub alayhi salam does this. He says, فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ سَأَصْبِرْ صَبْرًا جَمِيلًا فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ يعني سَأَصْبِرُ صَبْرًا جَمِيلًا. He says, سَوَّلَتْ لَكُمْ أَنفُسُكُمْ أَمْرًا. That's what he says to his children. قال يعقوب عليه السلام says to his children, بَلْ سَوَّلَتْ لَكُمْ أَنفُسُكُمْ أَمْرًا. You are mentioning to me that a wolf ate my son, but rather it is a matter that you plotted and planned. You're not speaking to a naive kid. You're speaking to an elder. You're speaking to a father. You're speaking to a prophet who's the son of a prophet. Who's the son of a prophet? You're not speaking to some naive, unassuming, uninformed miskin. No. He calmly lets them know. Now the scholars of Tafsir highlight that they brought the shirt with them, with the blood on it from the animal that they cut. And by the way, when you slaughter without haqq, this is a sin as well. Can you see the crimes that are happening after they got rid of Yusuf? More crimes, slaughtering an animal in falsehood. Some of the scholars of Tafsir highlight, and clearly this is from Judeo-Christian narratives, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, they say that the shirt was the ayah for Yaqub alayhi salam, because the shirt was not torn. How can a wolf devour you and the blood stains are on the shirt, but the shirt is intact? Where's the bite marks? Where's the teeth marks? Where's the rip marks? They forgot to tear the shirt. They forgot to manipulate the shirt to make it look like a wolf attacked Yusuf alayhi salam. And the scholars have deduced from this, subhanallah, that never ever let shaitan deceive you that you can commit a perfect crime. Never. There will always be something somewhere you will forget you are insane. You will be found out. Some evidence, some trail, something will be left behind. And Allah will inspire someone to pick up on it. And your truth will come out. So this is what happens. And he calmly, with sabr, says to them, knowing that they're adults, rather, it's from your plotting and planning. فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ. I will exercise a beautiful patience. Not a patience, but a beautiful patience. A beautiful patience, meaning a patience that is unprecedented. I will exercise a patience that is unprecedented. That's how beautiful it will be. When people look at it, they will say, this is something out of this world. وَاللَّهُ الْمُسْتَعَانُ عَلَى مَا تَصِفُونَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is enough for me for the lies that you brought to me, for the description that you shared for me, for the plotting that you have executed. And through it made me a victim as well. Yusuf here is not the only victim. Yaqub alayhi salam is a victim as well. It's Surah Yusuf, and we do focus on Yusuf. But don't forget the father who's a victim here, and he will be a victim for 5 decades or more. Subhanallah. Because he never forgets his son, and he never has the closure, and he's waiting patiently. When you talk about a beautiful patience, think about 5 decades of it. Conservatively, 5 decades of it. At least 5 decades of it. La ilaha illallah. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Subhanallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gather us with Yaqub in al-Firdaus and bless us with a drop of the patience of Yaqub alayhi salam. Subhanallah, in our lives, how many times do we just start complaining about Allah? How many times do we start trying to change the Sharia for anything? We have, subhanallah, such a low threshold to take on adversity. We don't ever ask Allah for the test. But the nature of life, subhanallah, is that it's filled with tests. But the question is, how many of us feel the tests of life? How many of us? How many of us feel the test of the un-Islamic trends that are drowning us? And if the answer is, I don't feel it, you know why. It's because you are accepting of it. You are accepting of it. The easiest way not to be patient is to treat that as normal. They say if you can't beat them, join them. When you're trying to beat them, you need to be patient. But when you join them, there's no need to be patient. May Allah grant us a drop from the universal patience of Yaqub alayhi salam. Ameen. Ya Rabbil Alameen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then swiftly takes us forward. And this is from the eloquence of Surah Yusuf and why it's the best of all stories. We said there's a camera in the home of Yaqub. Suddenly there's a camera outside of the home and the brothers are conniving and meeting this private meeting to plan what they want to do and execute it. Then the camera comes back home and we see them with Yaqub. And you can see this discussion that's taking place. Now the camera is gone elsewhere. The scene shifts. The image shifts. The storyboard has shifted. Where? To the well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that Yusuf alayhi salam is in the well. Don't forget. Alright? But what happens? Allah says, جاءت سيارة. A caravan came. فَأَرْسَلُوا وَارِدَهُمْ فَأَدَلَى دَلْوَى. They sent their buckets down the well. And it was from the norms of those times. People would travel the deserts using routes that were well known for water sources. So sometimes your route would be longer because your route is dependent on having a water source. You know your animals can only last so long without water. Your cooking, your needs, your drinking, your washing, etc. You can only have so much that your animals will carry. So even though it's going to be a longer route, it's going to add weeks maybe to your route, days maybe to your route, you happily explore it. You know, it's not like the sat nav. We say shortest distance, fastest time, you choose your route. Tells you if you go this way, this is the scenic route. This way, this is the fuel efficiency route. That way, it is the quickest route, right? You never had choice those days. Those days, the only sat-nav direction you have is this one route. Even though you can see a direct line between you and your destination, which will save you a lot of time. It's not going to save you a lot of time if you die on the way. So you're forced to take the long route, go where the water sources are. So this caravan comes knowing that there's a water well here. And they send the bucket down. Now the scholars of Tafsir deduce from this that it was a shallow well that they threw Yusuf in. And this is from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon Yusuf. Yesterday in Brisbane, we spoke about the mercy of Allah upon Yusuf during the calamity. And a lesson that we extracted was Allah's mercy falls upon us even when the harm is drowning us. Because at that time when they were talking about killing him, Allah inspired one of them to say, لا تقتلوا يوسف. Don't kill him. But alquhu fi ghayabat al-jub, send him down the bottom of a well. This was a mercy. To the untrained ear and the untrained eye, you don't see this mercy. You read the surah and you think, okay, that's what happened. That's Allah's mercy. And I gave them an example in Brisbane yesterday. It's like, for example, somebody has a job and he's about to be fired from his job. And in that meeting, one of the directors say, no, don't fire him, just shift his department. Demote him to another department. When the news gets to you, you say, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, and this is harm, and this is disaster, and this is doom, and this is gloom. But you don't know, subhanAllah, Allah's mercy is already touching you. If it wasn't for Allah's mercy, forget about a reduced salary, you'll have zero salary. You're out of a job. That even when calamity strikes, there's Allah's mercy around you. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam always taught us, look at those who have less than you, because your situation can be worse. Recognize Allah's mercy still around you. Whatever Allah does, He does good. And also from the mercy descending upon Yusuf is that out of all the wells, they threw him down a shallow well. So there was no fear of him drowning. And guess what? He sees this bucket, he jumps onto the bucket, he, mashallah, tabarakallah, suratul badiha, he's clever in his mind, in his ability to interpret events, and this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He jumps in, it's a heavy bucket, people feel there's water, they pull it up, they find a boy. Ya bushra hadha ghulam, la ilaha illallah. Immediately Allah tells us the nature of the heart and minds of these people. And these are thieves. Why are they excited that they found a boy? They were looking for water. What's the natural conclusion you'll get when the bucket comes without water but a boy inside? Would it be like, oh, this is amazing, we found a boy? Or would it be like, subhanAllah, we need water, ya akhi. Where's the water? You came looking for water, not for a boy. But they were excited. Ya bushra hadha ghulam. Glad tidings, we found a boy. Why? They found the opportunity to enslave him and sell him for money. You see, the nature of life back then and the nature of life today, subhanAllah, thieves come in different shapes and forms, right? A bushra, nowadays, it's commonly a name of a girl. And ghulam, in some communities, is the name of a boy. No, it's not. This is not a marriage proposal here. Ya bushra hada ghulam. No, it's not bushra, this is ghulam. Some people misunderstand. Bush, this is Arabic language. This is Arabic language. Ya bushra hada ghulam. Bushra, this is, they're saying bushra, this is glad tidings. Hada ghulam, we found a boy. Allah tells us immediately, wa asarruhu bida'a, they hid him immediately as merchandise. But Allah says, wallahu alimun bima ya'malun. Allah was knowledgeable of that which they did. Who told Yusuf alayhi salam that Allah is knowledgeable of everything? When we discussed prophetic parenting. Yaqub, inna rabbaka alimun hakim. Inna rabbaka alimun hakim. Yusuf comes out of the well. We hear the speech of the people of the caravan. Do you hear Yusuf's voice? Do you hear him saying, no, I'm not a slave, I'm a free? He's quiet. Why is he quiet? Because my father taught me that whilst no one may know where I am, whilst no one may know where I am, inna rabbi alimun hakim, Allah is my protector. He nurtures me to perfection, and he's al-alim, he knows where I am, and he's al-hakim, he's wise as to why I am here. And my father taught me this, so I'll be patient as well. This is from the patience of a father and a son. A patience that is recognized in the heavens. A patience that is observed by the Lord of the people observing this patience. A patience that is pleasing to Rabb al-Alameen, to the Lord of the worlds. A patience that entails their story remaining until the day of Qiyamah. La ilaha illallah. I leave you with this lesson today. And inshallah, tomorrow we'll begin discussing Yusuf alayhi salam in the slave market. هذا والله أعلم. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا